Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Sunday that celebrates the Passion of the Lord. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will hear the Gospel from St. Matthew and read and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
A lot of people are moving into Corpus Christi, and that's good news. More good news is that locating a parish church or Catholic school is now easier than ever. Just log on to diocesecc.org. That's diocese, D-I-O-C-E-S-E, cc.org. You'll find loads of information there, including parish locations, mass times, Catholic schools, information about the diocese, its clergy, youth and support groups, the South Texas Catholic, and so much more. Even if you've lived in the Corpus Christi, South Texas area for some time, you'll still want to visit the website and learn more about the church and its many activities, missions, and schools. Again, the website, diocesecc.org.
Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
I'm very fine, Barbara. How are you?
I'm good.
I hope you're staying well.
I am. And just so our listeners know, we are practicing social distancing this morning we're doing this recording.
The other end of the room there.
Yes. So yes.
Thank you for doing that.
Further away. Well, no, thank you. So this is a very different Lent season, and this is going to be a very, very, very different Palm Sunday for us. We're used to the procession. We're used to seeing you in the red chasubles, so We need your guidance through this.
Right. Well, this is the beginning of Holy Week, of course, and I think it's going to be holy on many fronts, the fronts that we're going to live the Passion in a very real way this year, not just in liturgy and prayer, but actually in our own skin and bones, you might say, of being deprived of being present in the liturgies of the Church. But also us as priests, as pastors, as the bishop, it's certainly an empty feeling. But, you know, God never puts anything in our path that he doesn't want us to learn from, so allows things to happen. He permits things to happen. And so in the midst of this virus that has become a pandemic across the globe, it's a moment for us to go deeper into faith and not to stand back and say, I don't have what I need. No, we don't have what we need, but we do have a person who accompanies us in all of this, and that is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we stay close to him, and that's what our liturgy, our talk this morning, the Shepherd's View, we'll talk about also with the Word of Life, continuing to prepare us for the rest of Holy Week and the rest of this time of the pandemic. So.
Yes, yes. So if I can ask our listeners if they could close their eyes and then prepare their hearts and minds to hear the gospel reading from St. Matthew.
Well, not if you're driving. So I know some of you listen while you're driving.
True enough. Thank you.
Pull over. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus and his disciples drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he will send them at once." This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. "Say to daughter Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and a colt, a foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat upon them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewn them on the road. The crowds preceded him, and those following kept crying out and saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken and asked, "Who is this?" And the crowds replied, "This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, what I neglected to mention in the beginning for our listeners, this is the gospel that is spoken at the very beginning of the Mass for the procession of the palms.
At the procession,
right. So not the long passion that they're going to hear
right.
this
we'll
Sunday.
Hear the, tuning in on Sunday, you will also hear during the liturgy, the Mass, you will hear the reading of the passion of the Lord. The first time during Lent, the first time for Holy Week that we'll hear the passion. Again, we'll hear it on Good Friday as well. So at this point, the deacon, as we finish the reading of the approach to Jerusalem, the deacon says, "Let us proceed." And I think those are important words for us today, because let us proceed. Let us not back away, but let us go on toward Jerusalem. Jesus, of course, knew what was approaching. But I think, again, for us, this is a time of spiritual renewal for us, mm-hmm. for me. I can say, let me speak for myself.
For me also.
We have to look at what we normally would do at this time, and we're not normally doing it anymore. It's a time of desolation, like being in the desert. But God never allows or permits anything that doesn't have a purpose. And so comes to me this morning is the thought of, why did Jesus proceed? Many of us, when we know there's danger ahead, we leave. We go the other way. We take another route, whatever, to protect. Jesus, in this sense, it was not a matter of protecting himself. It was a matter that he had a mission. He was sent by the Father, which he speaks of throughout his life and ministry. And so it would be in Jerusalem that he would be glorified by embracing the cross, by being crucified. And so, knowing it wasn't going to be easy at all, but he proceeded toward Jerusalem, toward his mission to suffer and die on a cross for us, to identify with our weaknesses in order to understand as God who we are, and to share in our joys, but also share in our sorrows. And so this Palm Sunday, this Passion of the Lord begins in this Holy Week, is a time that Jesus approaches us in a very, very special way. I think for today and throughout Holy Week, I would like us to think of that. Jesus continued on through Jerusalem, to Jerusalem. He didn't back away. And as we live this time of the pandemic, even if we're not affected by it, even if we've not received the news of a loved one, some have, but to know that we share in the joys and the sorrows of all of humanity. We become a family. Jesus prayed at the end of his life, as he entered into this Holy Week, "Father, may they all be one." This is a time for us to feel the joys and the sorrows, the pains, the anxieties of every human person, not just isolate myself into my own world, wish it was not there, wish it away. Jesus went into the midst of humanity and went into the midst of human suffering for us. He wanted to be with us, for us. So I would say, especially this week, it's holy in the sense that we open our eyes to what's around us, why Jesus did what he did this whole week, why he gave us the Eucharist, why he suffered on the cross for us, why he stayed in the tomb for 3 days, why he rose from the dead. All of those whys, I think, can be given a new light in the midst of our own anxieties, fears, pains. He did it for us. He did it everything he did, especially in this week, as we walk through this week with the readings, we can see and they can give light to our present situation of the pandemic, the questions that we have, the concerns we have, perhaps a loved one that hopefully has not died, but, you know, I mean, I've known of someone that I have met before that has died. So it touches all of us, and he is there, right there with us. So I think it is Holy Week on many, many fronts, and I'm struggling in my own self now to present that concept with those words, but each one of us can pick up the cross of this week and look beyond ourselves. I think that's the real word. Jesus was not thinking of himself as he entered into Jerusalem. He was thinking of those who needed him, those who were suffering, those who were alienated, those who were lonely, those who were with diseases. So many things. He was there with them and for them. He's there and with us for us, especially this week, but throughout our life.
You know, as you were saying, how Jesus goes in and knows about the danger and knows about the diseases, and we're hearing so much about the people that are at the forefront, you know, the healthcare workers, the EMS, the fire, the police. I mean, those are the people that are on the front lines and that are really risking their lives for us.
Exactly. In many ways, they represent the height of human service, the gift of humanity to humanity. They are in a very special way in the light of Jesus, you know, that he did not back away. He went into the midst of the difficulties. And so we are very grateful to all of them, even those that are not there at the bedside, but are helping to direct and give get the supplies. And there's so many aspects to this thing that that we can really bring to mind and give meaning to. And I think that's the main thing, give meaning to what we're doing and what we see our brothers and sisters doing, those that are suffering, those who are alleviating the suffering, those who are there at the bedside, and so on. There's so many aspects to this moment which are redemptive. And this is the time, this week is the time of redemption, of seeing how redemption can happen if we pull together as humanity, not just now, but we need to wake up as humanity and say, you know, we're all in the same boat throughout the world. Whether I have or I have not, we're together.
And another thought came to mind is the men and women that are driving the trucks that are keeping our supply chain going with everything we need. I mean, we're blessed to have a bountiful supply of food, and it's those people on the road that are risking their lives getting that to us.
Yeah. And then we think of those on the other side of the world who don't have.
Exactly.
And the suffering that they have. So we can't isolate ourselves from them either.
Right.
So this is an explosion of the world. It's a way for us to be thankful for what we have and what is being given and doing happening for us. It's also a time for us to look beyond our borders and see if those the plight of those who do not have. So it's a worldwide, that's why it's a pandemic across the world, and we're given the opportunity to look beyond ourselves, because Jesus in himself as God came for every human person, not just those in Jerusalem on that day, but for you and for me, miles away, centuries beyond, he's there for us.
Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for April. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
Serving well over 150 homeless adults per day, the Mother Teresa Shelter, a day shelter for the homeless at 513 Sam Rankin, offers rehabilitation as a primary goal. The shelter offers a drug and alcohol-free environment from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m., 5 days a week. Comprehensive community-based outreach services are also available to help these individuals stabilize their lives. The shelter offers rest, snacks, needed clothing, toiletries, a library, lockers, shower and laundry facilities, phone and internet service to help with family communications, and job opportunities, first aid, job counseling, and other assistance to help the homeless return to living productive lives. In the words of St. Teresa of Calcutta, affectionately called Mother Teresa, "Do what you can do." To volunteer, donate, or hear more, please call the shelter, 361-883-7372.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in April, and we have our Focolare Word of Life. And I say it every month, but especially this month, it's a beautiful, beautiful one for us to reflect on, especially this Holy Week.
Yes, it's concerning faith, and this is definitely a time of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, and certainly that's our case right now. Mm-hmm. So the gospel reading that is given to us to live, to put into practice, to guide our steps during this April month is, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." So, you know, faith is not something that I can orchestrate, that I can study, that I can create. It's a gift. It's a gift, and, you know, it's a gift we can ask for. It's a gift we need to ask for. And so during this time of the pandemic, as we live through this, I would really encourage those who maybe have become weak in faith, those who have lost faith, whatever it is, whatever our condition is, there's no judgment here. It's just that's the way we are. But this is the time to wake up and just ask for faith. Give me the faith I don't have in those things that I need, in those times that I need. So that's just an introduction. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. And this is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 29. The Gospel of John describes the occasion when the risen Lord appeared to the apostles, to Mary Magdalene, and the other disciples. Jesus bore the marks of the crucifixion, but his physical presence filled the hearts of those who saw him with joy and renewed hope. On one of the occasions, the apostle Thomas was missing. The others, who had seen the Lord, told him about the wonderful experience, perhaps because they wanted to pass on to him their same joy. Thomas, however, could not accept the testimony of others. He wanted to see and touch Jesus for himself. And this is what happened a few days later. Jesus appeared again to a group of disciples when Thomas was present. Proclaiming his faith, his total belonging to the risen Lord, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." This gospel was written after eyewitnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus had died. The transmission of the gospel message to subsequent generations was based on the testimony of those who had received the proclamation firsthand. Herein lies the beginning of the church. The people of God who continued to proclaim the message of Jesus by faithfully transmitting and living his word. We too have met Jesus, the gospel, and the Christian faith through the words and witnesses of others, and we have believed. For this reason, we are blessed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. To live this gospel passage, it is helpful to recall a commentary written in April of 1980 by the founders of the Focolare, Chiara Lubich. She said, quote, "He wants to confirm in us and in everyone who did not live at the same time as Jesus the belief that we all share the same experience as the apostles. Jesus wants to tell us that we are not at a disadvantage compared with those who actually saw him. The fact is, we have faith. And this is the new way of seeing Jesus. With faith, we can approach him, understand him, meet him in the depths of our heart. With faith, we can discover him when two or more people are united in his name or in the church, which is his continuation. These words of Jesus are an invitation to revive our faith, not to wait for support or signs of progress in our spiritual lives, not to doubt the presence of Christ in our lives and in history, even though he may seem to be far away from us. He wants us to believe in his love, even if we find ourselves in difficult situations or if impossible circumstances prevail upon us. Anne is a young Australian woman who was born with a severe disability. During my adolescence, she shares, I wondered why I was still alive, because the burden of my disability was so great. My parents, who lived the Word of Life, always gave me the same answer. Anne, God loves you immensely and has a special plan for you. They helped me avoid being closed in on myself and totally blocked by my physical difficulties. They encouraged me to be the first to love, as God had done with us. I have seen that many situations around me have changed. People have become more open towards me and toward others. My father wrote to me, she said, a personal message that he told me to open only after his death. He had written just one sentence, "My night knows no darkness." This has been my daily experience. Every time I choose to love and serve those around me, there is no more darkness, and I can experience the love that God has for me.
Wow. As you were reading it, I was reading it again, and there was this section where he wants us to believe in his love, even if we find ourselves in difficult situations or if impossible circumstances prevail upon us. That's like right now.
Right. Exactly.
For a lot of people.
Sure. Exactly. Right. And, you know, I also wanted to couple with that something that I read actually from Kara Lubick the other day. Then she was quoting St. Catherine of Siena in one of her dialogues. She speaks of how God first loves us. We cannot love God first. I thought that was, I'd never thought of it that way, because he's already loved us first. So we're second, if best. But what we can do is be the first to love a neighbor.
True.
And that's where the love of God and the love of neighbor come together. That love of neighbor is an expression of the love of God, the love that God loved us first. I can't do that with God. I can love him back. And I should love him back, and I want to love him back, and I want to experience his immense love for me, but he's already done that. So I can respond to that by being the first to love a neighbor. In that way, my love is characteristic of God's love, and that's where the joy comes. And as you said, in this time that we're living through, what a wonderful thought just to keep in mind. Faith is not losing sight. Or let's put it in the positive. Faith is keeping in mind that God has loved me immensely. With all of my faults, with all of my difficulties, with my past, with my doubts, with my insecurities, with my infidelities, everything, God's already loved me. And that love is so immense that I can't even understand it. So to accept that. And sometimes we just have a hard time accepting that because we don't take the time to think about it. But this is the time to think about it, that God loves each one of you that's listening, every human being in this world. He loves each person so immensely we can't understand it. Mm-hmm. If we do want to experience it, then love your neighbor. Be the first to reach out to that neighbor. And I know many of us are doing this. Yesterday, I picked up the phone and called a couple of people. I haven't talked to one of them in a couple of years. And another, a bishop friend of mine who's in one of the hot spots of the virus. But just the joy in both voices, you know, the one that receives and the one that gives, that's God's love. One of them I called is a quite elderly man that I've known for years. He and his wife. His wife died a few years ago. And I said, this is Bishop Mulvey. Oh! Bishop Michael Mulvey. Oh! I thought, okay, he's known me as Bishop Mike, as Bishop Father Mike, Father Michael, Father Mulvey, Mike. And I used every form of address that he would have remembered. Oh! Finally, I said to him, I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you very much. So then I hung up and I called his daughter and she said, oh, he just woke up from a nap. He can't hear. <It's> just... So later last night, she went over there to his place and called me again. We had a wonderful talk. But, you know, it's those things that awaken mm-hmm. us out of our own sadness, mm-hmm. out of someone else's feeling alone. And he said, I am so grateful for your call. That's what love is mm-hmm. taking the initiative to love someone else. So I would say to all of us, and again to myself, because I've got many to call too, mm-hmm. if you're thinking of someone, call them. Don't say, you know, I need to call. No, you do need. Just do it now.
What's keeping you?
That's right. And that's what that is characteristic of God's love. That is the first characteristic of God's love. He loved us first. He loved us immensely in the simplest things. We cannot love him first. We can love our neighbor first. Take the initiative and reach out, and you will find that the more we do that, whether it is a phone call, whether it is collecting groceries for someone, picking up trash out of someone's yard that can't get outside, you know, whatever it is, the simple, do it because it's inside of us.
Even writing a note to get something in the mail.
Sure. I mean, there's so many things that we can do that come to our mind. I mean, I don't try to invent stuff. Mm-hmm. It'll come to your mind. Just do it. And that's, you know, that old thing back from years ago, just do it. Just do that act of love, and you will find the joy to live even in these difficult times. Mm-hmm. To find the joy even when we're lacking so much spiritually, as far as the sacraments, as far as being gathered in the church. Those things we have to put aside now. But the love of God remains, and our love for God and our love for our neighbor can grow in this time when we are called to have a faith. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.
Beautiful. Thank you, Bishop. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. Almighty, ever-living God, who as an example of humility for the human race to follow, caused our Savior to take flesh and submit to the cross, graciously grant that we may heed his lesson of patient suffering, and so merit a share in his resurrection, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
And may Almighty God bless you this day and throughout this week, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a beautiful Holy Week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.